This series presents information based in part on theory and conjecture. The producer's purpose is to suggest some possible explanations, but not necessarily the only ones, to the mysteries we will examine.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you've asked for it, you've anxiously awaited, you've been wondering when the hell are they coming back? Well, guess what, folks? We're back. The Paranormal Pulse is back. Let everybody know. My name is Lance Phillip, and with me, as always, is my partner, Chris Bruno.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much.
We're back.
We are. We've been away for a few weeks. For the people out there who are wondering, between Chris and myself, we've been alternating being sick every other week. And
Well, I'm working on that, but you know, it's not just that. Other things have come up as well. Life happens.
Yeah.
We're real people. We don't get paid for what we do. We do it because we love to do it, and it's kind of cool that we have you guys out there listening.
Yeah,
we do appreciate that, and that's why we're back. But you know, life happens.
Yeah,
things we've got to deal with.
And you know, we had Thanksgiving in there. Things just got a little hectic, so we had to kind of
get Halloween in there. We had Thanksgiving in there.
I know. We had to take a little hiatus, but we are back and better than ever. That's right. Shit does happen.
Shit does happen.
Which makes me laugh. Did you happen to see the thing on Facebook the other day? It was a picture of a Justin Bieber shirt and a picture of a bottle of Tide laundry detergent and then a picture of a Metallica shirt. And what the caption was is, Tide really does take the shit out of your shirts.
Nice.
Yeah, so Bieber was supposed to be the before and Metallica was after. I thought it was pretty funny. It was going around.
I think I did see that one some point.
It was cute. I liked it, but, you know.
There's some entertaining stuff on that Facebook.
Sometimes. There's also some life-stealing, you know, time wasters on there too, so.
Oh my God, yeah. That's why I don't play any games. And because I only played a couple of games. And this is totally off topic of what we had listed, but hey, what the hell.
That's okay.
I don't normally play games, and mainly because I played, what is that song called, that thing called Song Pop? That video game, that song, that music video trivia game.
No idea. I'm out of the loop on that.
Oh, well, lucky you, because that thing just sucks the life out of you. I was playing that game, and you have to have speakers.
Right.
Or headphones or something. So I'm sitting there all crouched over, got my headphones on, got the volume down like somebody's around actually listening, but I've got headphones on. They can't hear it. And I'm playing song pop for like 4 hours, because you listen to little tiny 30-second snippets of a song, and they give you four choices, and you have to choose, you know, name that tune and as quickly as you possibly can in order to score points and beat whoever you're challenging, some other Facebook friend me a request. That's how I got sucked in.
There you
it's
go.
Terrible stuff. Absolutely. Terrible stuff. Stay away from the games. They will steal your life.
You know, it just occurred to me, speaking of moments in time, I just looked over to my right.
Like that one that was just lost.
Yeah, well.
You're welcome.
I just looked over to my right in my office / studio here, and I realized I haven't flipped the pages on my calendar since June.
Well, we recorded after that.
I know. I just, you know what it is? Because where I have the calendar sit, that where it sits, I never even look in that corner. I don't know why I have a calendar up there.
Oh, geez. I don't know.
Guys, how
okay,
do
so
over?
Just to be clear, this is actually episode 21.
21. Lucky 21.
Lucky number 21.
Blackjack.
Hey, every number's lucky for us, right?
There you go.
See, so number 21, Paranormal Pulse podcast. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for having us back into your homes, your cars, your audio devices. We appreciate it. You can find us online at the Facebook page. It's Paranormal Pulse podcast on Facebook. We also have EKG. That's the ghost hunting team that we belong to. And it's EKG, East Coast Ghost, on Facebook. You can find us and like our page there as well. There's lots of ways to listen to the Paranormal Pulse podcast. But the best thing to do first is find us on Facebook, like our page, and then you can check out all the methods that will bring you our madness. It's really a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Are you a god?
Kiddies. This is Alice Cooper.
Hi, Ruckus. This is Billy Idol.
Hey, this is Meatloaf.
Hey, this is Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
I am Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer, Vulcan Sildrawer, Lord of the Sebulia. Are you the gatekeeper?
Hey, this is Grant Wilson of Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to the Paranormal Pulse.
This is the Paranormal Pulse.
So, we are coming up to the Christmas season, or we're in the Christmas season. I know I've been doing
We're in the Christmas season.
Yeah,
we're in the middle of all kinds of stuff going on. Hell is breaking loose in a festive way.
Absolutely. I've done Christmas shopping mainly for myself, getting myself a new giant sized TV. Oh, did I say that out loud?
See, the benefits of never ever having children. I love my children, but yeah, I have to buy toys for them.
Well, the funny thing is I've actually done most of my Christmas shopping for everybody without ever leaving the house. Amazon is a great thing.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
No fighting
Shop
with people.
Online if you have a connection, free up, unclog the roadways.
Unless you
really love that madness, just shop online. You get better deals. You can search coupon codes and save money all over the place. It's awesome. You can actually compare and shop better online because you have a better view of what's out there and what it should cost.
Absolutely. But it is the Christmas season, and
I just go on tangents.
No, that's fine. We don't mind.
But we've got time.
Yeah. It is the Christmas season, and what we've decided to do is have a little segment called The Ghost of Christmas Past. See how we work ghosts in there, folks? What this is going to be, Chris and myself have decided we're going to share some Christmas stories with you. You know, it's not necessarily paranormal related, but again, it's the Ghost of Christmas Past, so that's how we'll tie it in. And we've decided each to tell you two stories, one of our favorite Christmas moments, and maybe one that's gone horribly wrong. So,
I don't know if I have a specific story that goes along with that or just the whole process itself.
Fair enough.
You go first.
Well, I'm going to start out with a very positive memory that I had from when I was a kid. I was probably, I don't know, around, I want to say about 8 years old, maybe 7 or so. And what we used to do is we used to go to my father's side of the family on Christmas Eve and my mother's side of the family on Christmas Day. Well, for some reason on this particular year, it got reversed. We went to my mother's side of the family. Now, we lived in New York, and my grandmother on my mother's side lived on the same block as us. We lived at the front of the block. She lived at the end of the block, the far end.
Nice.
There are probably about 25 houses in between. Mm-hmm. But I remember going to my grandmother's on this Christmas Eve, and, you know, we were having a great time, you know, plenty of food and stuff. The other family was there. And I'll never forget because it was probably the last year that I actually kind of believed in Santa Claus. So I actually lost Santa Claus at a younger age than a lot of kids. But what had happened was my dad turns to my grandfather and says, "Oh, I forgot something. I have to run to the store." Now, he disappears, and I'm a kid, and I'm playing with toys and playing with with my aunts and my uncles and whatnot. I'm not realizing my dad's gone for hours, literally, right? All of a sudden, mm-hmm. he shows up closer to the end of the night, and, you know, we all wrap up and say our goodbyes, and we walk down the block back to our house, and my dad opens the door, and he swings it open, but he lets me walk in first. And the way my house used to go is you used to actually walk into – I lived on a second-floor apartment in the city, and, you know, you had to go up one set of stairs to get to the front door, then through a little hallway, then through a second long hallway with the stairs up to our apartment, which was in the back of the apartment building. I go up, and, of course, I open the door, and I run in, and the lights are already on, which should have gave something away. But sitting on top of when you walked in, you'd walk right into the dining room. And sitting on top of the dining room table is a big white sheet. And with a bow on it.
Was it a ghost?
No, it wasn't a ghost. Back then, if it was a ghost, I'd probably be scared to death. But not anymore. But
not such a good gift.
No, but it had a red bow on it. And my dad was like, "Oh my God, Santa was here. Look what he left you." And I pulled the sheet off, and I'm looking, and it was my dream at the time. It was a full slot car racing set, the four lane wide racing set.
And true slot car with the little pins.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Nice.
AFX slot cars. And it was all set up, and I was like, "Oh my God."
They smelled weird.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh my God, Santa was here." And I'm like, not realizing at the time, because I'm 7 years old or so, that It was actually my dad who snuck away from the house, set this whole damn thing up. Came back, and I never realized it, you know. And it wasn't until I was
playing with it for the past like hour.
Oh yeah, yeah. My dad where my love of slot cars came from is in the late '60s when slot cars had their big explosion across the country. My dad actually used to race them professionally. So,
oh really?
Yeah, yeah. He actually helped develop some of them with, with Aurora at the time, who was based out of Long Island. He had a lot of the prototypes and whatnot. So, cool. It got me into it at a very young age. But this was my first, like my track, not his, not you know. It blew me away, and for years I thought Santa Claus came and set this thing up. You know, it wasn't until years later I realized Dad snuck out of the house for a really long time, you know, and I never put it together until I was much older. But, you know, at the time it was like the greatest thing ever. It had four cars and one of them, you know, I'll never forget it because I actually still have one of them left from that set. One of them was like a 68 Pontiac Trans Am, and the thing was awesome. I was like, I love that car. But, you know, it was just it's one of my favorite memories, you know, it just stays there. And the thing about Christmas for me was I grew up an only child, so Christmas to me was like everything.
It was better than a birthday.
I was the only child, but I was also the only blood grandson on both sides of the family.
Oh, you were spoiled all to hell, weren't you?
Oh my God, you couldn't believe. Like Christmas for me, I literally, like, I probably got more presents at Christmas than most kids had in their lifetime. That's not even a joke. Like, I look back
probably
now.
You screamed your full head off every Christmas. Christmas!
I mean, between my grandparents and you know, on both sides. And my aunts and uncles were really cool about it, too, because, you know, they didn't have kids, so they spoiled me as well. So it was really cool. Like, I loved Christmas, and I still love Christmas Day.
Why wouldn't it be cool?
You know, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, no, it's...
Maybe their land's nice
right.
story.
It's funny, and the funny thing is, you know, I didn't have a stepbrother until I was, like, in my 20s. So, for years,
You're
Christmas
lucky.
Was the greatest. Yeah, I know. it was great, you know.
No, I'm not going to knock it. I love my brothers.
Yeah. You know, the only thing that it was is, you know, as an only child, you become very creative because you don't have friends around all the time to play with. So, a lot of the games that they gave you for Christmas, well... They were kind of bummed out because you had no one to play with. So you had these players, you had these games. We needed two players.
Yeah.
So that was the only drawback. And it was like unless friends
Block
came.
Cars.
Yeah.
Play
well,
all by yourself all day long.
Well, I was really smart. I actually figured out how to take a rubber band and set one car by wrapping your rubber band around the controller that it would just run at a constant speed, but it wouldn't go too fast, so it wouldn't fly off the track. You know.
Right.
So that
yeah,
was
you need to control it around those curves.
So being an only child, you become very creative. So that's a lot of, like, what developed me as being creative over the years was being that only child. But I just loved Christmas, you know. It was one of those. I mean, like I said, even today, I absolutely still love Christmas. It's
okay, I'll tell you, my happy, squishy, cute little story, and then we can move on to the other ones.
Cool.
My story is brief, you know. I'm... Not all of you know us, so I am the youngest of three. I have two older brothers. My brother Jonathan is only 2 years older than me, so we were in the thick of it all the time together, getting in trouble. Matter of fact, my second story involves him heavily. And then my older brother. So I'm probably, I don't know, like seven maybe. And I really liked Winnie the Pooh. He was the best. So, and my mother was very handy because we're talking about the 70s. So they're all, you know, practicing making their own clothes, even though nobody had to, they just did. And so she made me this nightgown out of this super soft material. It was awesome. It was like the most comfortable nightgown ever. I still, to this day, am on pilgrimages, you know, in Marshalls and wherever trying to find fabric that soft. But anyway, so I'm in my super soft, love it, homemade, horrible 70s brown flowered dress for pajamas, and it's Christmas morning, and I wake up and in my room is a brand new like kid tables and chairs. That, you know, doesn't sound like a big deal to anybody, but to me that was like the best thing ever, because I was a child, I was the youngest of three, so I didn't have anything to myself, even though I'm the youngest and I'm a girl, I didn't have anything to myself. My brothers pretty much wrecked everything already. You know, two older brothers, they break stuff. They get rules implemented that affect me and not them because they kind of broke things and now I'm not allowed to do that. So there was a lot of that going on throughout my childhood. And I had this table. I wake up and I have this table and chairs in these big, bold, green and orange 70s colored, you know, like laminate on top of it. It was the best thing. I love the table and chairs. It was like my favorite gift. It was a great thing. I used to color and paint and do everything on that table. It was awesome. So that was like a really good Christmas morning. And it was my single child moment, my only child feeling, because my brothers couldn't use it.
There you go.
It was girly. It was flowery, you know. It was mine, and it was in my rooms,
right?
So they couldn't come in there and use it either. So it, like that made me feel like an only child Christmas that morning.
There you go.
So that was my good little story. It's exciting. So what was the downer story that you have?
Well, that goes to
Oh, wait a second.
Just relax. We are now checking your paranormal pulse.
By the way, you're listening to the Paranormal Pulse podcast. I'm Chris Bruno. That's Lance Phillip. We're just talking about our favorite Christmas memories since we're right in the center of all the holidays. And now we've told our favorites. Now we're telling our less than shiny Christmas mornings or what have you.
This is actually a multi-tiered bad Christmas. And I would say it still wasn't a bad Christmas. Even a bad Christmas was a good Christmas, but this was probably one that was the most event-filled. It was probably a year after the other story or 2 years after. I don't remember which, but it was probably, I want to say about 2 years. I was like 9 years old. My parents decided for some reason that this was the year they were going to tell me there was no Santa.
What? Wait, hold on.
I know.
Hold on. I don't believe that one bit.
It's true.
Parents out there, if your children are listening to this show, you know, push them into the other room, make them watch, you know, Pokemon or something for a minute or two.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah, they told me for some reason they decided this was the age I need to know there was no Santa. This probably went along with, like, the first time, like, I remember my dad, like, just a little different story, but, like, my dad decided at a young age I didn't need to drink out of a bottle either, and he decided, nope, you're going to be a man, and you're going to drink out of a cup. And I remember I was very young, and I loved that bottle, and no, so, you know. And that was more of...
You probably made a lot of messes with the cup.
Well, that was more of, leave me alone, I'm tired from work and I don't want to fill up your bottle, you can do it yourself, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
He sat me down and said, you're going to drink out of a cup and this is how you do it. But this was kind of, I guess it was maybe the same thing. They didn't want to keep up the illusion or go with the story anymore. So
it gets exhausting after a while.
Right.
Okay?
So, you know, they didn't want to take me to see Santa and all that good stuff. So
you can only be creative for so long before you're finally like, okay, you know what? This kid's got to know by now.
So, yeah, exactly. So now, again, it's a twofold story. We had recently got a dog before Christmas. He was my very first dog that I ever had. We had a cat prior to that who had passed away. My parents decided, let's get a dog. Let's get a Doberman mix in a tiny apartment in Brooklyn. That'd be a great idea. Yeah, okay. So I wind up with this Doberman, and he was the greatest dog ever, except that he was just untrainable to the point where I had him from time I was 9. I had him till I was about... Yeah, I think I was 21 or 22 when he finally passed away. But
wow,
yeah,
he's
he lived a long time. But the funny thing is my parents get the great idea. We're going down to my grandmother's on Christmas Day. Well, we don't want to leave the dog in the house all day, even though, what are you talking about? 6-7 hours, he would have been fine. So we paraded this dog down to my grandmother's.
Oh no.
And we used to do this thing like, you know, like we'd have dinner and this sort of thing. And then we'd exchange presents between dinner and dessert, right? Well, somebody in my family got the great idea of giving me this great radio control truck. And somebody else in the family decided that wasn't good enough. They were going to buy me a radio control car, except the truck had a steering wheel, which was real easy to figure out for a 9-year-old kid. Okay, you turn it this way and it turns. But the car they gave me was ridiculously fast, and it had those sticks. And I had never used those sticks before, ever.
Oh, yeah, they're hard.
Right. So right before we're giving the presents out, my Uncle Joey, who was really a cartoon-looking character, man. He was probably about 350 pounds, round, roly-poly guy. I mean, he looked like a typical cartoon character. And he decides to tell me, "Hey, Lance, Santa brought you this." And my dad stands up and goes, "He knows there's no such thing as Santa." And my uncle would just look like, "Oh, boy." And I'm like, he goes, "You know there's no such thing as Santa?" I was like, "Yeah." Right? And he's like, "You're not upset by that?" I was like, "No." Right? So all of a sudden I got...
You sound convincing.
I know. I was like, I was a little kid. You know, what do I know? If they would have told me the next day, "Yeah, no, he really does exist," I would be like, "Yay!" But no, So now I get this car. I'm like, that killed the Santa illusion right there. But now I had this car. And I'm trying to run this thing through the house, right? And every year, me and my grandmother would set up this big Alpine village under the tree. There was little ice skaters and little skiers and little homes that were all lit up and all kinds of, you've seen all those Alpine village stuffs, around.
Oh, yeah.
We'd set this whole elaborate thing up, right? And of course, my grandmother's like, "Don't run that car near that Alpine village." And I'm like, "Yeah, I won't." Meanwhile, I have no clue how to steer this thing. I'm 9 years old. And the car goes whipping, hits my dog, who's asleep. He gets up and looks up, and he's like, "Ur!" And he just starts chasing after this car. And, of course, me, I'm trying to have the dog not catch the car. Zooping the car right into the Alpine village. It's knocking over little skiers, little villagers. My grandmother's literally having a heart attack because now my grandmother's tree had ornaments that – antique glass ornaments that went back to like the late 1800s and early 1900s. Okay, priceless ornaments. And I'm running through the thing with this with the car, and I'm hitting everything. The dog tries to get under the tree, this big Doberman thing.
It's like a Christmas story, only in the living room.
Right.
Instead of the kitchen.
Well, he knocks over the tree. It falls. I hear glass breaking everywhere, right? My grandfather jumps up. And he's like, "Get rid of that car." And he kicks the damn car, right? He picks up the tree, but the tree broke in the stand. So now here's my dad, my uncle, holding up this tree while my grandfather goes and gets a saw. And he's sawing away at the bottom to put the thing back in the base.
And
all I'm thinking is, "Oh, I screwed up. Oh, boy, did I screw up."
Why did we have to bring the dog?
Exactly. Now, and I'll never forget, my grandmother had this one ornament. It was a Puss in Boots ornament. It was a little cat inside a shoe. It was a glass ornament. And every year she would tell me how this ornament was like from the early 1900s, and her grandmother gave it to her, and now it's got a big broken spot in the back of it.
Yeah.
To which she kept it, and she put it on the tree every year, but every year I knew there was a hole in the back of it.
She was looking at it going, "Frickin' broken thing."
I know, and every year, there were other ones that broke too, but they were more of the garden variety round glass ones.
Yeah.
But this one was very special, and every year she'd put it on a tree and she would hide it so you couldn't see the back of it. And all I could think of wasn't me, it was the dog.
It was your dog.
It was. So that was kind of a sad Christmas, but I'll be honest. The next day, I got to play with even more toys, and I just didn't remember at that point. Toys wiped away everything. But, yeah.
Well, that's like a Christmas story. That's like a classic movie kind of plot going on there.
Well, I do have... I'll let you tell your story. I do have one other really funny kind of story, but you're up.
Well, I'll tell you my story. It wasn't a bad Christmas. It was a bad kids before Christmas story. That would be me. And as I spoke of before, my middle brother, he is only a couple of years older than me, my brother Jonathan. And he listens on occasion. I don't care if he listens or not. He knows I tell this story because it's funny. And he tells it too. And we were like, okay. So anyway, let's think. Let's picture, how old were we? We had moved and we lived in a lake community in a rental while my parents were having their dream home built. And it wasn't like a mansion or anything, but it was nice for them because they never got to build a house before. So, there's three kids in tow and they still get to do this. That's a great thing. So they're having this house built and we're in this neighborhood. We know nobody. We're in new school system. We're in a rental house, just checking out the area. We used to ride our bikes everywhere and stuff. We also figured out that at the end of the road, there was this old stone kind of like pillar thing. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just marking the entrance of the road because it was a dead end. I don't know. But we could both stand behind it easily and you couldn't see us. And that's also where our bus picked up. So we decided the one day, my brother kind of went, psst, I know where the Christmas gifts are hidden. I'm like, what? I know where the Christmas gifts are hidden. You want to ditch school and check them out?
Nice.
So, you know, me being the little sister and being curious, I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. And we had already perfected the whole ditching of school because there was a school bus that would come by and pick us up. So the best thing was, is we were the only ones on that bus stop and our parents both left for work shortly before we would go to school. Now, you know, I know all the tricks, so I watch carefully now with my own children. So we hid behind the pillar at the end of the bus stop. So our parents saw us walking there. They drove past while we were standing there. We'd wave, hi, have a good day at work. Are they gone? Quick, hide. I shit you not. That's how it would go. So we'd hide. The bus would slow. You know, they don't see anything. They continue on their route to the school. And we would go, yay, they're gone, yay, and skip back to the house and shimmy in through the basement window because we didn't have keys to the house. We weren't allowed in there like that. So we snuck in through the basement window and we kind of searched out the Christmas gifts. And my brother showed me all the stuff we had and we were all excited about it. And we decided that we'd sit home, play video games. The video games, of course, were Christmas gifts. So we... So we carefully opened the video games in the box, you know, the bottom flap, very carefully. We thought this through and we got away with it, actually. My parents only know this story because we told them. So we were very good at it at the time. So we went and we played video games all day long. We had ColecoVision at the time. I don't know if anybody remembers ColecoVision. It was a notorious... what was the other one? Intellivision,
right,
battle between ColecoVision and Intellivision. Anyway, we had ColecoVision. It had the cool little mushroom kind of controller rather than the thumb, painful thumb disc of Intellivision. More of that geekiness and dating myself. So we played Donkey Kong Jr. on ColecoVision all friggin' day. All friggin' day. And had a great time. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Got some wood glue out of my dad's shop and followed the wiggly pattern on the bottom flap where the glue used to be.
Right.
And glued the boxes back shut after we, you know, the thing was friggin' hot, too, when we took it out of the machine. We blew it off. We stuck it back in the packaging. We glued the flap back shut, nice and perfect, put it away, and we didn't touch it. It was like a week before Christmas. So obviously the wood glue worked because nobody knew. And we got to open them all over again on Christmas and play for hours, which was awesome. So it was a good thing and it was a bad thing at the same time. It was great though. It was good Christmas.
See, that kind of ties in perfectly with the next story I had, which is a real quick one.
I do not encourage other children to do that. Your parents will catch you. Technology wasn't as advanced as it is now. I tell you easily, if technology was then, we'd be screwed and probably in jail.
Kids, I encourage it, and I'll teach you how to do it the right way. But all right, so you know, being an only child again, and living in a small apartment, you know, 2-bedroom apartment in the city, it was very hard for my parents to hide the presents from me. So what they would typically do is buy them and hide them in my grandmother's house, but. But that really didn't work because one year my grandmother had a closet and I went to go into the closet and she came running over and slammed the door shut. And she told me, you're not allowed in that closet. And I was like, okay. And I figured out that's where the Christmas presents are.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I was honestly real good about it. I didn't go into that closet. But there was
not that
one
closet.
No, well, I was actually very good about not going after the Christmas presents.
That was my brother's fault. It wasn't me.
Yeah, all except for one year. But we'll get to that in a second. But my parents also, too, being an only child, they had the most of the time shop for Christmas presents with me there and somehow tricked me into believing that they weren't for me. And I'll give you a real good example.
Is this what you like, Lance?
No.
For your cousin.
Well, this is almost. I'll give you a good example. Again, I don't have really that many cousins at this point because I'm an only child.
Right.
You know, I did have two three cousins, but they were all adopted, and they didn't live close by, so where I would see them all the time. I would see them, but not all the time. But
yeah, see, we got the cousin jokes.
Yeah, well, no, but what happened was my parents take me shopping. They go into Toys R Us, and at the time, I'm a big, you know, 1970s Star Trek kid. You know, all the reruns used to be on, and my dad was a big Trekkie, so. We're going through Toys R Us, and I think it was Toys R Us. It may not have even been Toys R Us, because in New York, I don't know if we really had Toys R Us at that point. It was probably some other toy store, but okay. So regardless, we're walking through, and my dad's pulling up all the stuff, and he's like, hey, do you think... Now, my dad's best friends were Lenny and Betty. They're like, do you think Lenny's little brother would like this? And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And that's how they were picking out the presents, under the guise that they were for Lenny's little brother. And I come to realize Lenny's little brother really was like 30 years old at the time. You know what I mean?
And they didn't know.
I didn't know. I was like, okay, Lenny has a little brother. All right, okay. And that's how they were getting the presents. And I remember opening up all the presents and thinking to myself, I saw all these before. Where the hell did I see these? You know? But yeah, that's how they did it. But that only worked for like a couple of times, and I was on to that one. But one year, I remember... In the 80s, when the Dukes of Hazzard were big, and I wanted everything Dukes of Hazzard. I had to have everything Dukes of Hazzard. But my mother at this point decided, I'm not even going to hide presents. I'm just going to bring them home, instantly wrap, close the door to the bedroom, say, you're not allowed in, wrap them, and then go put them under the tree. And that's what she did. Well, one day, I decided, oh, I don't feel good. And I stayed home from school, and I was like, how do I get into those presents? And what I did was I strategically pulled up the clear Scotch tape, and undid each flap to look inside, and then just closed them back up. And Christmas Day, I was like Kreskin at that point. I'm like, wow. I was like, this looks like the size. I was like, let me guess. This is, and I'd shake it.
I predict.
And that's what I was doing. I was actually shaking. I'm like, I guess I'm like 14 at the time. Like
being a smart ass.
Yeah, and I'm shaking. I'm like, oh, this sounds like this could be a Dukes of Hazzard car. And my mother was like, wow, you're really good at this. And then after that, I actually did become really good at kind of predicting presents as I got older. I'd be shaking, like, nah, it's not. It's something soft. It's clothes. It's a sweater. And I do that kind of thing every year.
Socks.
Yes, yes, you know.
I have tons of stories. Everybody does. I mean, we celebrate Christmas for the most part every year as mainstream people. I have stories as a parent as well, and that's a whole other realm. Most of the time, we as parents, when our children were littler, decided to try to, you know, follow along with the tradition of lying to your children and trying to trick them, be very convincing about the whole Santa thing, We even went so far as to have the reindeer leave a letter and sign it by them with a hoof print. And because the kids would, of course, one of the school projects would be like making reindeer feed, and it would have glitter and oatmeal in it. And, you know, when you dump it on your lawn and hope that you can wash the glitter away before spring, you know, that kind of thing. And the kids are all excited. Yay, we fed the reindeer. And so we would do something fun. We would, you know, leave cookies and milk out for Santa. And we left out soy milk for Santa because Santa was lactose intolerant after drinking so many glasses of milk throughout the night. A glass of, you know, almond or soy milk was refreshing to his tummy. So, you know, the kids were right on board with that. We had, what was the other thing that we used to do? Oh, so if they ever caught like the wrapping paper laying around, we would say that we would leave it out for Santa and the elves so that they didn't have to bring their own. Because, you know, it's inevitable that those huge tubes of paper are going to end up laying around the house at some point, and the kids are going to see it. You know, we don't live in mansions. We have limited space.
Right,
so
right.
That was the lie that we used was, well, we're going to leave these extras out for the elves so that they can wrap and do whatever they need to. And maybe they can wrap some other kids' toys in it, too. How nice. The sad truth was is that we left that stuff out for ourselves because my ex-husband and I, who I'm still good friends with, Icky, has the habit of liking to wrap gifts at midnight. or what have you on Christmas Eve and not be done till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And then you get like 2 hours of sleep before the kids wake up. So like I can relate to both ends of it. My own memories of very organized Christmas where you'd go and put on the patent leather shoes. Well, I would as a girl, and the little dress and the stockings and everything. And you take one toy that you just opened up and you can take it with you to grandma's or aunt's or uncle's or whoever's house that you were going to that Christmas day for dinner, because we never freaking stayed home. That was really annoying to me as a child. Well, and yeah, I know a lot of people can relate to that.
Oh, that, definitely that, because I tell you, like I said, for the most part, we always went to my father's family on Christmas Eve and then my mother's family on Christmas Day. And eventually it started the tradition of we would go to my dad's family on Christmas Eve and we'd be there. And when we would get home, it would be right around midnight. And at that point, my parents used to let me open up my the other thing, too, is my parents were the type that never liked to get up early in the morning. So rather than getting up early in the morning and have me tear open my presents, they would rather sleep in. So I started opening up my presents midnight Christmas Eve.
Yeah, some people do that.
That's what we did. That's exactly what we did. And it was funny because we would always, like I said, we would go to my dad's side of the family and my cousin Ralphie, we would always try to make him open his presents. And he'd be like, no, it's
Ralphie?
Not Christmas. Yes. Yeah, I know. It's not. Yeah, I know. Not the same Ralphie, but
I'm sorry.
I know. There was Big Ralph and Little Ralph. So for me, he was Ralphie because he was a kid. You know what I mean? But the thing is, he would he would refuse. It's not Christmas. I'm not opening up my presents. So we would never see him open up his presents, which is the funniest thing, you know, thinking back on it.
Yeah, but bunny suits and everything.
Absolutely. So we are talking about the Ghost of Christmas Past, and I was just looking online as we were talking, and I was looking at the 1,000 versions of A Christmas Carol that had been done in the movies.
You're listening to the Paranormal Pulse podcast. It is our brief holiday return. We're here discussing holidays about Christmas. Really, we've just talked about Christmas so far, but there'll be more throughout the show.
Again, folks, this is a Christmas show. You know,
it's not about Catholic Christmas. It's about family Christmas or Yule or Krampus or whatever holiday.
Unfortunately, we're not going to go into it, but I could tell you a lot about Hanukkah growing up in a Jewish neighborhood. So,
well, you totally could. I'm not being secular at all with any of this discussion.
Yeah,
it is what it is, and you believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. We're just enjoying ourselves, having a conversation, and you're kind of listening in.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will get to the ghosty stuff in a minute, you know, just bear with us. So
Ghosts of Christmas Past.
Ooh. That's it. But, you know, just looking at the 1,000 versions of Christmas, you know,
A Christmas Carol,
right.
I remember at least 2 or 3 different movies as a child.
Well,
one of them was old and kind of creepy.
That's my favorite. And
the old creepy one.
Yes, yes. With Alice the Sim. I mean, the Alice the Sim one is, I think, from the 70s. But I know the one you're talking about, the old black and white one they used to show all the time.
The time, late at night,
but of course,
around Christmas, and
right.
then during the day.
But of course you have Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Yes.
Everybody's favorite Ghostbuster.
I have a story about that, too.
That's a great movie.
Saw it.
No? But there's
I told my parents I was going to see it, and I could get other people we were kids, so there was a small group of us that were dropped off at the theater in a local town and to see Scrooged, and we skipped the movie and hung out with boys.
Well.
And then met back at the movie theater and lied our freaking asses off throughout the ride home.
Oh, we already
know. Yeah, we saw it. Oh, yeah, you know, like, funny.
Oh, and you
like a Christmas Carol, but funny.
There you go. But, you know, the funny thing is, like, you know, A Christmas Carol with Dickens, every cartoon series, whether it be the Flintstones, Bugs Bunny, they've all done their version of it. Mr. Magoo. Oh. Everybody's done that story over and over and over again. And it's funny. It's been interpreted so many ways. It's pretty amazing, you know. All right, so we'll take a little break, and we're going to come back. And what are we going to talk about when we come back?
We're going to talk about a different kind of holiday that just happened recently, Krampus.
Yes, Krampus.
Krampus Day.
That's true.
Krampus is a scary bastard, too. But we'll talk about that when we come back. You've been listening to the Paranormal Pulse podcast. We're on Facebook at the Paranormal Pulse podcast. We've got links all over the place on that page for our homepage where you can listen to the podcast. Roku, Blueberry, whatever, Raikou. No, that's different. you can listen to us on Podbean. You can listen to us on
Stitcher.
Stitcher, that's the other one I was trying to remember. Anywhere, everywhere, straight from the Facebook page, listen to us, Paranormal Pulse Podcast, share the page, give everybody to like us.
Given enough time and a powerful enough antenna, we'll beam directly into your head.
Oh, no. No foil hats. It's not allowed. All right, we'll be right back.
All right.
The Paranormal Pulse. Like us on Facebook at East Coast Ghost. That's East Coast with a K, Ghost, on Facebook. And feel it for yourself.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Pulse podcast. I'm Chris Bruno. Lance Phillip is obviously, of course, with me. And we were talking about the ghosts of Christmas past in the previous segment. And we're just talking about all kinds of holidays this holiday season. I mean, we've got Christmas and we've got Yule and Krampus Day. I think we're going to talk about that. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, etc. The list goes on and on. Everybody has their own holiday. But Krampus Day. Day stands out a little bit.
Well,
what's that?
You forgot one in there. Don't forget Festivus.
Oh, Festivus.
Festivus
for the rest of us.
Right. That's right.
My stainless pole is already up.
There you go.
So Krampus is a creepy story that's out there out of Germany, ancient Germany. And there are a lot of different variations of Krampus, but it was a pre-Christian Germanic tradition. And it was quite interesting. He was a very much looking like a Beelzebub kind of devilish creature. And maybe that's where the devil was based off of that. Depending on what religion you believe in.
Yeah, he was a figure who was covered in fur, had a tail, he had hooves for feet, he had a long, like a 12-inch long pointed tongue with goat's horns, really evil looking eyes and pointy ears, and he would come around with a satchel on his back and wrapped in chains and
excuse me.
And he was the darker companion, so to speak, to Saint Nick, who would, or in Europe, Saint Nick Day was December 6th, where Saint Nick would come and deliver all the good boys and girls presents. And the day before was Krampus Day, and Krampus would go around capturing and eating all the bad kids on December 5th.
Right, all the kids that were misbehaving throughout the Yule season, which is an important season, Krampus would go and scoop them up, and he had this big sack on his back. He would eat them. He wouldn't necessarily eat them in one whole bite when he grabbed them. He had this sack on his back, and he would scoop them up and throw them in the sack and take them home with him.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like all kinds of horrible things, you know, right there where he grabbed them. Yeah, scary. And that's how they scared children into behaving.
And
Santa wasn't the scary figure. Saint Nick was not the scary figure that kept them in line. It was Krampus.
Krampus. Where we've been taught that, you know, that good kids get presents and bad kids get coal in their stockings.
They were,
well,
like,
they
good
were
kids get presents.
And bad kids
get eaten.
Yes. And
that's a bit scarier.
And the thing is, this was a tradition that lasted for years. And in fact, they used to send Krampus cards as well as Christmas cards. You know,
yeah, like you sucked all year long. Here's your Krampus card.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, funny thing is, you can go online and see a lot of these old, ancient Krampus cards online. It's pretty amazing.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
I'm looking at a few of them, and it's like, wow.
They are creepy looking too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
There's one that looks like a full-fledged, almost like a satyr, full goat body kind of thing, black.
Oh yeah,
black body, mm-hmm. Almost like a satyr, more standing up like a man though, and just a long tongue stuffing children into his sack, and like smiling and laughing, and yeah, the chains with the cuffs on the end of them like a chain gang. It's a horrible, horrible picture, and it's on a card.
Oh, I know,
it's hysterical.
And it's tragic and funny at the same time, if it can be, you know. And the thing about it is,
as all old traditions are,
and let us not dismiss Krampus as being just a pure work of fiction, because remember, everybody was from our generation has been threatened. You'll get coal in your stockings.
Oh yeah,
but
Krampus will come eat your ass.
Well, let me ask you this: have you ever known any kids who actually got coal in their stockings?
No, I've placed candy coal in people's stockings, but children.
That's the point.
It's a threat.
Because Krampus had come around and taken all those bad kids away, which is why you only know kids who got presents.
Okay.
Just keep that in mind next time you want to dismiss Krampus.
Anyway, Krampus was starting to run rampant on December 5th on Facebook. It has become a little bit more popular. There's websites about Krampus now. There's a book that has been out for quite some time, actually, about Krampus. Just a kind of a fictional write. Very interesting stuff. And you could find Krampus cards now. Matter of fact, we on the Paranormal Pulse podcast page, you can see one of our little e-cards, you know, Merry Krampus, that we put up there.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Krampus is an interesting folklore. It is a German-based, pre-Christian. So if you wanted to search any stuff about it, you could do it that way. Or you can go to the Paranormal Pulse podcast page on Facebook and or our Podbean page. And I'm sure you'll be able to find some interesting facts about Krampus.
And also speaking about scary and folklore, not that we intended to talk about this, but you just reminded me.
Traditional holidays.
Well, you just reminded me. When we were kids, there was a book in the 80s and 90s called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Remember that book? It had the
Oh, yeah, I remember that book, yeah.
Well, it's actually being finally made into a movie, and I can't wait. So
really?
Yeah. In fact, I did post that on our Paranormal Pulse podcast page, so people can go there. It's an article
from the Huffington Post. Well, it could come out to be... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, it could come out to be totally schlocky and be really bad, too.
Oh,
but,
yeah, it could be like,
but that would
you
make,
know...
But that might even make it better, because we all love bad cult movies. Come on. You know.
Well, there's a difference between cult movie and like bad Disney movie. So it depends on what direction they go.
Yeah, true. But I was just happy to see that it's finally, after all these years, being made into a movie. So I posted
it's good stuff.
Yeah, if you get to our Paranormal Pulse the podcast Facebook page, you'll see it posted there. Wow, that was like a tongue twister for me.
Do it again.
No.
Come on.
All right, let's see. Paranormal Pulse podcast Facebook page. There you go.
There you
a little
go.
Bit
See,
better.
If you just leave Facebook out, it just rolls. Regardless of the parlor games, Krampus is, Krampus. Krampus is Krampus. Even the name is just not fun. Krampus. Sounds like you need some Midol or something.
I know. It sounds like somebody's cranky grandpa.
Thinking it. She said Krampus. All right, sorry. It's terrible.
No, that was great.
See, we're just entertaining ourselves this evening. Our show is just going in a wild direction. We were going to talk about this book, but I think we should talk about it. Just the premise of it. Just
sure,
the
not
what it actually is about. Okay, I don't even think that we should do that. I don't think we should talk about what it actually is about. I think we should just speculate the hell out of what it would be about. I think that would be funny.
Sure, let's give an uneducated opinion and just guess at it. I love that idea.
Radio hosts giving an uneducated opinion?
Hey, you know
what? You don't say.
Like I said before, I've said it once and I'll say it again. We have microphones in front of us. That makes us experts.
Damn straight. And you know, for the most part, you're right.
Of course, you know.
If we're smart enough to get this far. So the book we're going to speculate the crap out of. The book, I don't think that we should advertise the book necessarily without reading it, and we can't say that it's good, bad, or otherwise. Maybe we'll advertise it after the fact so that nobody is upset with us.
There you go.
You know. But in the meantime, the premise is, and there's a word that changed the context of it for me, but originally, this book Lance told me about, and he left one little word out, and that's fine, because that's what makes it funny. Yoga ghost hunting. Now, just hold on.
Okay.
Just like think about that for a second. Yoga ghost hunting. Yeah, you've got some questions in your head, right? Like, how the hell do you do that? How do you perform yoga and ghost hunt at the same time? So my speculations, and this was going on while we were at the Bodai Tree Cafe in Franklin, New Jersey, highly recommended, good coffee, nice atmosphere. No, I wasn't paid to do that. But we were sitting there, and Lance goes, well, there's this book about yoga ghost hunting. I'm like, how do you even do that? How do you perform yoga, which is supposed to be the Zen state, not moving, deep breathing, just being in the now, and then also hunting ghosts, which is kind of like an action. How do you do that?
Don't know. I didn't read the book yet, but I can only speculate.
Speculate away.
I don't know. You can go into some of that yoga chanting, and I don't know. What the hell do I know?
Well,
I don't
the
know.
The things that I was speculating about is, okay, so what is it that you're doing if you're in a yoga state and you're not moving? Okay, so if you have to be in yoga, okay, during yoga, in yoga, don't get mad at me if I use the wrong terminology, whatever. If you're in that now state, you're, you know, legs crossed, all that, is your energy being like an EMF pump where it's kind of feeding the spirits around you so that you may be able to conduct some sort of EVP session or something, but you can't move because you're in Zen state or what have you. So, okay, so somebody else places a recorder around you. They hear you. They might hear something if you're drawing it near or feeding its energy. These are all my kind of thoughts in my head. But at the same time, okay, if you communicate with a spirit in the now, in some sort of weird psychic kind of thing, how do you prove that scientifically? You've got nothing recording what you're experiencing. So it might be a really cool thing to experience. Hey, I'm all in. But how do you record that for science to prove that you experienced it? How do you collect that evidence? That's my thing. If that was truly the whole fact of yoga ghost hunting. Now, here's the thing. The word of. See, you left the of out, which changes the context of it. The yoga of ghost hunting is what the name of the book actually is. So the yoga of ghost hunting is a whole other aspect that's, you know, learning to center yourself, protecting yourself from negative energies, things like that, which it doesn't necessarily have to be tagged with yoga, but that book is particularly pertaining to that. So without that little OF,
well, you know,
go all over the place with it. Like, how does that work?
I know. It's that one little word that means a lot. No,
it does.
But the thing about it is, I mean, I've read the kind of summary of the book,
yeah.
And this person, Richard Salva, he, from what I can see here, takes techniques of yoga and kind of uses them in ways to prep you for ghost hunting, it looks like.
And that makes way more sense.
Right. And I guess some of the things that the book will teach you is discover how to protect yourself physically,
mm-hmm.
banish spirits, how to relate to ghosts, how to overcome fears of ghosts and other things, how to center yourself, how to connect with helpful spirits,
yeah.
how to distinguish between a haunting and a past life memory, and how to achieve mental clarity, and how to enjoy peaceful sleep, and much, much more. So I guess that's all interweaved with the ghost hunting. I'm one of those people, you know me, I'm open-minded. I'm going to read this book because I read every book.
Those are all good techniques. I agree that those are things that would help any ghost hunter, whether you're into yoga or not, is unnecessary. The book could be potentially extremely helpful. And in all honesty, and you know this as well mm-hmm. as I do, Lance, because being part of other teams, there are a lot of teams have their own techniques of protection prior to a hunt,
right.
Cleansing after a hunt. And it kind of follows the group's practices and thoughts. It doesn't mean that you have to specifically be this religion or that religion or what have
right.
you. Just a general protection, a general cleanse. And everybody feels better at the end of the day.
Right. And to me, one of the things about yoga is that it does open your mind up and gives you a little bit more clarity. So maybe that opening up your mind and that extra clarity will help you see things that normally you wouldn't. Who knows? I don't know. But, you know, like I said, it's a book. I'm going to wind up buying it.
Actually do it, too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm never against trying new techniques. So that's, you know, because you never know what's going to work. Like we said before, you know, I'm willing to give anything a shot. And like I said, when it comes to paranormal books, if you are an author out there and you want to sell at least one book, write it. I'll buy it. You know, it's the way it works. You'll have
He's
at least one
not
sale.
Lying.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have at least one sale. Guaranteed, it'll be made.
He's telling the truth, folks.
So
it's true. You know what's funny, too, is, you know, I would like to say, again, we haven't mentioned ourselves much this episode 21 of the Paranormal Pulse podcast, because we're just kind of talking. We're just having a good time with this podcast, just discussing things. And I kind of like the format. If you guys dig it, let us know. If you have any questions, I still like that, too. And I would love to do more listener questions. We're certainly very holiday-focused on this show, on the Paranormal Pulse podcast, but usually paranormal topics. If you have a question about something paranormal or pagan or just anything that touches those subjects, steampunk, goth, whatever, I get it. Let's talk about it. You can post on our Facebook page at Paranormal Pulse Podcast right on the wall. You can message us, like our page, share it, blah, blah, blah. You know the deal. We're here for you, and we want to hear from you. What do you think, Lance? Should we mention the phone number, or should we not even bother with that?
We can give the phone number.
There's always a way to get in touch with us somehow. We do have a phone number where you can call and leave us a message. We can even record it, use it on the air. So if you wanted to be part of the show, it's a Google phone number. What's that phone number, Lance? Do you have that handy?
Absolutely. All right, folks, big announcer voices.
There it is.
It's 805-633-0935. Again, 805-633-0935. Call it. And we'll send you something. We won't, but it sounds good, right?
No, we won't send you anything.
No.
We'll send you our love.
Absolutely. Now, just...
We love you for listening. We'll send that.
Well,
you know what I really like? Kind of off the subject, but on the subject of the show. I would really love that if somebody, after they listen to this show... We'll know if they've listened because they've listened this far. If you've listened to the show, to the Paranormal Pulse podcast, and you already like us on the Facebook page, post on our wall just a real quick favorite Christmas gift that you ever got. Like the best gift you ever got on Christmas.
Wow.
Or whatever holiday it is. I mean, I'm just assuming you celebrate Christmas. But all right, how about just best holiday gift? In the Christmas season. There. That's as PC as I'm gonna fucking get.
There you go. Well, and what was your favorite gift?
My favorite gift was I can tell you there's one gift in particular that I love, and I still have. Actually, my daughter has. My mother, and this was one of those trickier kind of things. She was making it for my cousin. Because again, remember, 70s, mom was crafty, sewing all kinds of stuff. Had my little fuzzy brown 70s nightgown on. She made this brown brontosaurus. She kind of like drew out this little pattern for a brontosaurus stuffed animal. And she made it out of brown plaid fabric. Probably just something she had kicking around, or it was on sale at the store or something. I don't know. And white button eyes. And he stood up and he had a long tail and a long little brontosaurus neck. And that was it. Just button eyes and the body and feet. And I got him for Christmas that year. I still have him. I used to sleep with him every single night. That's how I couldn't fall asleep without him. And when my daughter was little, oh, it's going to be such a cute story. When my daughter was little, my older daughter was little, she used to have nightmares. And I told her all about my dinosaur that I had when I slept. And I gave him to her, and she still has him.
Nice.
And she's 16. So,
nice.
Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah.
So cute.
Well, I have
and yet I say the word fuck.
There you go.
It happens.
Absolutely. I have two. One that my parents gave me when I turned 18, which is a Swiss Champ Swiss Army knife. It's one of those really wide ones that has like 100 different tools in it.
Yeah, nice.
They're really expensive now. I think they're probably like $178.
What's
these.
The most unusual tool on that knife?
Oh, I don't know.
Does it have a toothpick?
I've lost a toothpick. I'm in the process of replacing that.
Okay.
I don't know what the most unusual tool is. I think you know what the most unusual tool is? The little pen that screws into the corkscrew.
Okay.
It's actually one that goes in there. Yeah, it's probably the most, it's probably also the most useless one. I mean, how often are you going to use a tiny pen that's only like an inch tall? I mean,
tiny little pen.
Yeah. But I had that because, you know, I was big into hiking and camping. My parents
when you're
gave me
writing
that.
your save me letter, your little help
there you
me
go.
Letter. But that's what you'll.
But I think
your message in a bottle.
That's the all-time one that someone gave me. I still have it to this day. In fact, it's sitting next to me on my desk. It goes with me every camping trip and hiking trip. I love the thing. I recently refurbished the whole thing because it was getting a little old. And there was one camping trip where I left it on a table and it rained and it's whatever. I just refurbished the whole thing. It's great. But one of my favorite gifts is one that I gave myself because at the time, going back to 1999. I was with a girlfriend. We were together for 7 years. And it was every year we were getting more and more outrageous with the amount of stuff we were buying each other. I mean, it was getting out of hand. She was buying, I mean, the year before we broke up, she had bought me like a really expensive guitar and it was just all kinds of stuff. Well,
you were having only child Christmases even in your adult years.
Well, yeah. Well, and
that's
what happened
so unfair.
What happened was at this point was. I had put away a lot of money to buy her a Christmas present. We wind up breaking up in late October / early November. Now I had all this money that I had saved, and I was like, what am I going to do with it? It's like, hell, I'm going to buy myself a Christmas present. And, of course, I went out and bought myself a really, really stupidly expensive Ibanez guitar and still have that to this day. In fact, that's the one I was working on recently, putting in the Vine Inways that I had on Facebook. and I love that guitar. It's the Green Machine. It's bright green. It's great, and I still have it to this day, and that's my other favorite one because that was the one I bought myself.
Nice.
Yep. Just to let everybone know, I know prior I had spoken about a lot of interviews we had set up. When we took the hiatus, some of that stuff got put on hold. We will, going forward, have some more interviews. We're going to have a lot more interviews, actually. A big one is come February, I think we're going to do our first annual award show.
Yes, we are.
The Paranormal Pulse.
February's a good month for that.
Absolutely, the Paranormal Pulse Podcast Awards. And we actually have, that I've been working on in secret. Chris hasn't seen it yet, but she will soon.
No, I haven't.
It's our actual, our little, as I'm going to call him, the Paranormie. And he's
no.
Yes, he's the Paranormie. That's gonna be what our
Paranormie.
Award. Yes.
All right, I do need to see him.
Yeah, so he's a nice little statue on a base, and that's what will be presented to the people who win the awards.
This should be fan freaking tastic. That's gonna be February of 2014, not that far away.
Nope.
But right now, Paranormal Pulse podcast page. You're at the end of the show. I want you right now to go onto our Facebook page and post your favorite holiday gift that you've ever gotten. And why? Not even favorite, like the coolest gift.
Well, and I'm gonna sweeten the pot. I'm gonna run a contest. I have a prize. I have an EMF pump that I just received from a company, and we will give that away as a prize.
Okay.
But here's the condition: you can't just put up what. I mean, if you want to just go up and tell us what it is, I want to see a picture. No. I want to see a picture of your favorite gift.
If you have one, hey, that's so. See, I was thinking like favorite gift ever or coolest gift ever.
But in this contest, if it's one that you still have, we'll have you put up photos of it, okay? And then what'll happen is me and Chris will look at it and we'll decide which is the coolest one.
I say impress us.
Right.
That's what you need to do. You need to impress us.
And don't try and fake it. We'll know if you put the real Batmobile up there, we know you're lying.
Impress us, but be truthful. We'll know if you're lying.
So what we'll do is we'll allow you to post for the next 2 weeks. Post your favorite picture and we'll pick one to be the winner and that person will get a new EMF pump. So
woohoo.
So yeah, so that's absolutely great. We'll send that out. Oh, absolutely.
All right. I think it's time to go. So thank you for listening to the Paranormal Pulse podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Don't forget, post your favorite gift. You're in the competition. You just heard it all. You can find us and share us with your friends on Facebook at the Paranormal Pulse. You can listen to us all over the place. What? Stitcher, Roku, Podbean, iTunes, right off the Facebook page, whatever you want.
And when you put, just real quick, when you put up that picture, hashtag it with my favorite gift. So that way we can quickly search and anything hashtag my favorite gift.
Yeah, you need
go
to
through.
Teach me how to do that because I know nothing about hashtags. They just annoy me on Facebook. But hey, if they serve a purpose, cool.
Absolutely. So again, it's hashtag my favorite gift.
All right.
All right. That's all we got.
All right. I'm Chris Bruno. See ya.
I'm Lance Phillip. Have a good one. See ya.
Find the Paranormal Pulse podcast on Facebook under Paranormal Pulse Podcast. It's that simple.